Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday, May 4th, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we are at the conclusion of the paragraph on the believer in Corinth, who at one point was the incestuous believer of Corinth and was turned over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. He came within a heartbeat of dying the sin unto death. He came to his senses, rebounded, got back into fellowship with God, got out of the cosmic system, and that particular area, that was over in his life. He was back in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life. And God had forgiven him. The Apostle Paul forgave him. But as it is with many believers who never live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. They always think they're great believers, but they're not. They are loser believers. And they are actually far worse than this recovered incestuous Corinthian. They're far worse than he is. They have no virtue love. They have no personal love for God the Father. And therefore they have no impersonal love, and therefore they can't forgive and forget. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, well, you can forgive and forget. But there are many, many, many believers who they talk, they're all blow and no go. A lot of hot air. And they fool a lot of you, make you think that they're great believers when they're not great believers at all. And they have no virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. So this is a great passage. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. When that happens, well, then we have the illustration, our role model, Jesus Christ. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that was the greatest scum in the entire world. And the Apostle Paul forgiving this incestuous believer once he recovered. So in preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship with you through the study of your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, let's go ahead and start at verse 5. But if a certain man, and that's the believer in Corinth who was committing incest, but if a certain man has caused pain and grief, first class condition, and he has not caused me pain and grief, but to some degree he has caused all of you pain and grief. I say it this way in order not to be too severe or overly critical. This punishment, the punishment was he was excommunicated from the local church. This punishment is severe enough for such a person, which punishment was inflicted by the majority, a unanimous vote of the congregation. Verse 7, so that instead you ought to treat him, well, and there's three mental attitudes here, and they all are related to virtue love. You ought to be treating him with grace and forgive him, the first mental attitude. The second one, and comfort him, and that means no more mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, so that such a person is not swallowed up and devoured by excessive sorrow and soul pain. And because of this, I encourage you to decide in favor of virtue love for him, impersonal love for all. For precisely this reason, I wrote 2 Corinthians instead of coming face to face with you. I wrote 2 Corinthians, namely to put you to the test, to see if you are obedient in all things. Now the one whom, the incestuous believer, the one whom you forgive anything, I also, that's all it says, I also. For indeed, what I have forgiven in the past, Paul has forgiven his sins of incest in the past, with the result that they are a non-issue now, since I have already forgiven him, because of you before the face of Christ, who looks down with approval. Verse 11. For the purpose that we should not be outwitted and robbed by Satan, for we know his strategies quite well. Well, some believers know his strategies quite well, and many believers do not. Paul is not in Corinth for face-to-face Bible teaching. He is writing 2 Corinthians from Macedonia. He wants to give these believers in Corinth a chance to metabolize and apply Bible doctrine and pass people testing. You're going to have all different kinds of people testing. You can have people testing in your marriage. In your marriage, you can have people testing. In your family, you can have people testing. At the job, you can have people testing. You can have people testing in a local church. You can have people testing driving your car. I am constantly getting signals from people that come up to me and tell me I'm number one. And I always just thank you very much. You will always have people testing, and you get more of them all the time. He wants to give these believers a chance to pass people testing. They haven't done too well so far. Paul is a spiritually mature believer. Paul is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Paul has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And Paul's personal love for God the Father has motivated impersonal love for this restored believer. Paul says, I've already forgiven him. Now, how about you? Forgiveness is a very important part of impersonal love for all. The believer with virtue love brought to completion in his heart forgives and forgets. If you can't forgive and forget, you have no virtue love. You're not a mature believer. You are, if you hold grudges against others, if you have mental attitude sins against other believers and sins of the tongue, you are a loser in Satan's cosmic system. You are not a believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. It's impossible to hate, have mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue for fellow believers and live the spiritual life. Impossible. And there is no virtue in the cosmic system. And when you have mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, you're living in the cosmic system. You fulfill verse 11. You've been outwitted by Satan. You've been robbed of your spiritual life, and you have become casualties in the angelic conflict. There is no virtue in the cosmic system. No virtue love in the cosmic system. No impersonal love for all in the cosmic system. That's only in the spiritual life. So forgiveness is a very important part of impersonal love for all. The believer with virtue love brought to completion in his heart forgives and forgets. The phrase before the face of Christ means before the essence of God, before the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. And the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God approves grace orientation, virtue love, forgive and forget as the MO. That's the MO of the winner believer. And if that's not your MO, you're not a winner believer. We saw that in Ephesians 4:30 to 32, Colossians 3:12 to 14. Forgiveness and forgetting is the application of impersonal love to people. Forgiveness is based on virtue love in the soul, not who and what the other person is, their sins or their failures. The order of the day is to forgive and forget, but that demands virtue love brought to completion in your heart. It's impossible for you living in the cosmic system to be able to have impersonal love for all. The believer who refuses to forgive others is not living the spiritual life. A tremendous warning by Jesus Christ himself in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, and by the Apostle John, who is the apostle of virtue love, John 4, verses 20 and 21. Verse 11 again says then, for the purpose that we should not be outwitted and robbed by Satan, for we know his strategies quite well. Well, some believers know them quite well, and it's very obvious that many believers do not. We have here a very important word. We have hina plus the subjunctive of pleonekteo with the negative me. And the negative me introduces a negative purpose clause. And the verb pleonekteo means to take advantage of, to outwit, to defraud, to cheat someone. And when man is the subject of the verb, it means to take advantage of others. When Satan is the subject of the verb, as in our verse, it means to be outwitted by Satan, to be robbed by Satan. When you have mental attitude sins toward fellow believers, some fellow believer, you have been outwitted by Satan, and you have been robbed of your spiritual life. You have become the victim of Satan's strategies, and now you're entrapped in his cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. The prepositional phrase hupa plus the genitive denotes agent or cause and is correctly translated by, and the noun satan is transliterated, which doesn't tell you what it means. It's transliterated Satan. It literally means adversary. And he is the enemy of God, and Satan is the enemy of all believers. As our enemy, he has many strategies to make us casualties in the angelic conflict. What we were studying tonight, I'll guarantee you, you better be in fellowship and filled with the Spirit, because Satan does not want any of you to learn these things. None of you. And he will try every way possible to get you to become arrogant and sit there and because you know it all and don't pay attention, don't listen. And this, what we will be studying, not just tonight, but next week, Satan does not want believers to understand who and what he is, what he's like. And this idiocy that Satan drawn and wears a red suit and a pitchfork, if you believe that, you're already a loser. Satan doesn't have red underwear and doesn't go around with a pitchfork. And if Satan were to walk in here, if he were to walk in here, all of you ladies that are married will say to yourself, I didn't marry my right man. My right man just walked in. Ooh, what a hunk. Yeah. And for those of you who are single, I just met my right man. He is the most beautiful creature ever to come from the hand of Jesus Christ. Beautiful. And he's the most intelligent creature ever to come from the hand of Jesus Christ. As the ruler of this world, he uses the old sin nature as his inside agent, and his cosmic system of interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred to entrap believers and rob them of their spiritual life, resulting in reversionism, degeneracy, and becoming losers in the plan of God. The aorist tense here, pleonektiko, is very important. It's a constative aorist. Constative aorist. Oops. Oh, we'll get there. We go. Constative aorist. By the way, this is not understood by many, many communicators of the Word of God, but they quit studying from the original languages anyway. So the constative aorist views all the bad decisions the believer makes, all the bad decisions to say yes to the temptations from the old sin nature, all the bad decisions to live in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, all the bad decisions to have mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue toward fellow believers. That's the constative aorist, and it views all of them in their entirety. The passive voice, the believer making these bad decisions, receives the action of being outwitted and robbed by Satan. The subjunctive mood goes along with hina and the negative may to introduce this negative purpose clause. For the purpose that we should not be outwitted and robbed by Satan, robbed of our spiritual life, becoming losers in his cosmic system. For we know, or we ought to know, his strategies very, very well. And we have here the verb agnoeo, which is made a compound word made up of the alpha privative not and noeo, to know. And agnoeo means not to know or to be ignorant. And then we add another negative, ooh, when you add that to it, Arnton Gingrich on page 594, the Greek lexicon says, now this is a periphrasis. This is a roundabout way of saying to know quite well. So literally it says not to be ignorant, but that is a periphrasis, a Greek idiom that means to know quite well. And then we have, what do we know quite well? Ta noema ta. And ta noema, in a good sense, is it means a thought or mind. In a bad sense, as it's used in our verse, it means design, plot, strategy. So again, the corrected translation, for the purpose that we should not be outwitted and robbed by Satan, robbed of our spiritual life and becoming casualties in his cosmic system. For we ought to know his strategies very well. One, the Apostle Paul has taught the doctrines related to Satan over and over and over again. They can't be taught too many times, and very important for you to know your enemy. You have an enemy, and your enemy is Satan. And you better know your enemy. That's one of the first things about the military. You have to learn and know your enemy. And you have an enemy. He's the ruler of this world. Know your enemy. And the Apostle Paul has taught these doctrines related to Satan over and over again. Two, the Apostle Paul has not only thoroughly taught the doctrine of Satan, but he has also thoroughly taught Satan's strategies. The Apostle Paul has not only thoroughly taught the doctrine of Satan, but he's also thoroughly taught Satan's strategies. We'll see many of these passages. Ephesians chapter 6, the passage on the armor of God. Why are we instructed to put on? Why are we commanded? Two times, and God doesn't have to repeat himself when he does. He's trying to tell you something. To put on the armor of God. Why? Because the ruler of this world, he's ruling this world. Ruling demons, demons in authority, world-ruling demons of this darkness. And he has all of these strategies, so you better put on the armor of God. If you don't put on the armor of God, you will be a casualty in this invisible war. Three, Satan has several strategies to keep the believer in the cosmic system. Several strategies, first of all, to get you into the cosmic system, and then to keep you there, entrapped. Four, mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue toward fellow believers is one of the ways that many believers in Corinth are entrapped in the cosmic system. Many believers in Corinth are entrapped in the cosmic system through their mental attitude, sins, and sins of the tongue. Five, they have no virtue love. They have no personal love for God the Father. which motivates impersonal love for all. They have no impersonal love for all. And therefore, they cannot forgive and forget the failures of the incestuous believer who now is recovered from his reversionism and degeneracy. So they cannot forgive and forget. They have no impersonal love for all. Six, no virtue love brought to completion in their hearts keeps them entrapped in the cosmic system. No virtue love brought to completion in their hearts keeps them entrapped in the cosmic system. Now you got to know your enemy. Don't give the devil the satisfaction. Don't give him the satisfaction. He would love to cause you all to crash and burn. Don't give him the satisfaction. Now, there's no reason for you to go this route. No reason at all. You live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. What are the mandates? The mandate is to keep on being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being empowered in your life. There's only one way you can live the spiritual life, by God's power, not by your power, not by your wonderful personality, but only by God's power, the filling of the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Ephesians 4:30, stop grieving the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, stop quenching the Spirit. 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:25, stop forsaking the assembling of yourself together in a sound Bible teaching church. All of these are mandates for you to live the spiritual life and by the spiritual skills and advance the spiritual maturity. But no virtue love brought to completion in their hearts keeps them entrapped in the cosmic system. Seven, no impersonal love for all means no forgiveness. No forgiving and forgetting. And no forgiveness, well, that means you keep mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. And you keep yourselves entrapped in the cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Satan is a real creature. Angels were created before we were created. They were created by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the creator of all things. And when he created the angels, they were all created perfect. And they were all different. And the highest ruling of all angels, created from the hand of Jesus Christ, was Satan. He is a real creature. And if you think what we're studying tonight is not a big deal, you're already a casualty. There is nothing he would rather have you do than not pay attention. Not pay attention and learn what he's really like. He's the highest ranking of all angels before his fall. He is currently the ruler of all fallen angels. And he is also currently the ruler of planet Earth. He is ruling this planet. He is the most perfect and the most beautiful creature to come from the hand of Jesus Christ. He is superior in genius and beauty and personality and persuasiveness. and he is invisible. He was the chief of the angels, and his name was Lucifer, son of the dawn, Isaiah 14:12. He was the most spiritual, most spiritual being. I'm getting so excited. I'm not using my diaphragm and use my vocal cords. Not supposed to use my diaphragm. Supposed to use these powerful muscles down here. You're supposed to use that. Excuse me. Hoo-wee. It's just tea. Knock it off. He was the most spiritual being that ever existed. And this is why, even as a fallen angel, he can transfer himself into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 and 14. In fact, turn over there. He was the most spiritual creature that ever existed. And that is why, even as a fallen angel, he can transfer himself into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11. We'll start at verse 12, and Paul says, and we're heading there. There, a major portion of 2 Corinthians deals with a part of Satan's strategy, which is false teachers and false apostles. And that was a major problem in Corinth. There were many false teachers and false apostles, and Paul devotes several chapters to dealing with this satanic strategy. This is one of his strategies. And in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12, he says, "And I, Paul, will keep on doing what I'm doing." What is that? Teaching grace and truth dogmatically. Teaching grace and truth. I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those false teachers. One of Satan's main strategies, false teachers, false apostles. In order to cut the ground from under those false teachers who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us, Paul and Timothy and Titus, in the things that they boast about. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So it's not surprising then if his servants, these false apostles and false teachers, masquerade as servants of righteousness, but their end will be what their actions deserve. They'll all wind up in the lake of fire. By the way, the lake of fire was created for Satan and his angels. That's what it's created for. If any unbeliever in human history winds up in the lake of fire, it's because he refused the grace of God. You see, God's essence is made up of virtue, love. When it says God is love, it is God is virtue, love. Virtue, love. And every phase of the plan of God, we see God is love, God's virtue love. Phase one, salvation. God loved the world so much. Impersonal love is directed to all, the whole world. The whole world. God loved the world so much. He gave His uniquely born Son that whosoever believes in Him will never perish but have everlasting life. God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. That's impersonal love for all, the entire human race. Phase one of the plan of God. Impersonal love for all mankind. The Lord Jesus Christ manifested impersonal love for all, willing to go to the cross and receive the sins of the whole world in His body and the judgment for all those sins. And then personal love in phase one of the plan of God is given to the few. You see, personal love is conditional. What's the condition of phase one? Faith in Jesus Christ. Personal love of God the Father is given to the few who believe in Jesus Christ. So phase one in the plan of God, impersonal love for all mankind, unlimited atonement. God sent His Son to solve the world's sin problem, impersonal love for all. Impersonal love is unconditional. Personal love is conditional, the condition to the few who believe in Jesus Christ. Phase two of the plan of God. Impersonal love is given to all believers. All believers in phase two under the 40 salvation blessings and logistical grace blessing and support. All believers get that. Logistical grace. Day after day after day after day, God graces you out. Logistical grace, logistical grace, logistical grace. No matter whether you're a baby, adolescent, mature, reversionist, living in the cosmic system, the worst believer who is walking on the face of the earth, or the greatest. But personal love, this is unconditional, given to all believers. Personal love is given to the few. The few who live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance the spiritual maturity, and God gives to them greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings for time. Spiritual blessing, temporal blessing, blessing by association, historical impact, suffering for blessing, dying grace blessing comes to the few who live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. And then phase three of the plan of God. Phase three, believer in eternity. Impersonal love is given to all believers. They all receive a resurrection body. All believers will. Whether they are loser believers or winner believers, they all will be in heaven with a resurrection body. Personal love is conditional, given to the few, and that is greater grace blessings awarded to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. God is virtue love. Impersonal love is unconditional. Personal love is conditional. So, point one. Satanic strategy is first of all made up of deception and lies. Satanic strategy is first of all made up of deception and lies. Let's amplify that. One, Satan is the greatest deceiver of history. Satan is the greatest deceiver of history. In fact, the Bible says it over and over and over again. He's deceiving the nations. Boy, he's done a hell of a job on America. He's deceiving the nations. He has deceived America. We have bought the lie. He is. Two, to be such a deceiver, the devil must be the greatest and most effective liar of all time. To be such a deceiver, the devil must be the greatest and most effective liar of all time. Turn over to John 8, the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 8. And I want you to concentrate on everything we're studying. If you find yourself, your MO is to lie. To lie to your family, to lie to your friends. If that's your MO, you have a teacher, but it's not God the Holy Spirit, and it's not a faithful pastor teacher. You have a mentor, and that's Satan himself. He's your teacher. Is that how you operate when you talk to people? You lie to their face? I can't tell you how many people have lied to my face. And they usually start out with telling me how great I am. Oh, Pastor Olson, you are so this and that and another thing. And I can't tell you how many lies have been said to my face. That the MO there, you're living in the cosmic system. Your teacher is Satan, not God the Holy Spirit, and not the pastor teacher. John 8, verse 43. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you do not listen to what I teach. Listening here with the idea of positive volition and humility. Verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of lies. He is a liar and the father of lies. So, point three. The MO of the believer living in the cosmic system is deception and lies. You can't believe what they say. They lie right to your face. They look at you and lie right to your face. It's easier for them to lie than tell the truth. The MO of the believer living in the cosmic system is deception and lies. Four. They worship and serve the creature Satan rather than the Creator, Jesus Christ. They worship and serve the creature Satan rather than the Creator, Jesus Christ. Five, Satan never tells the truth. He will take the truth of the Word of God and distort it. What is, and the major way is salvation. What is salvation? By grace, through faith. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what does Satan do? Twists it and adds one work, two works, lots of works, twists it, and now it's a lie. Now it's a false gospel, and no one could ever get to heaven by the lie, the distortion. Salvation is by grace through faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all work. You add one work to faith in Christ, you have no salvation. The devil has robbed you of ever having eternal salvation. You add one work to faith in Christ, there is no salvation. Now it's the lie of a false gospel. 6. When Satan is the mentor of the believer in the cosmic system, that believer's MO is to lie and deceive, just like his mentor. When Satan is the mentor of the believer in the cosmic system, that believer's MO is to lie and deceive, just like his mentor. 7. Satan works through human beings who are liars. First of all, he teaches them in his classroom, the cosmic system, teaches them till they're expert at what they do. And then he uses them. And by the way, believers are deceived just as easily as unbelievers by this satanic strategy. 8. The illustration of the satanic lie. We'll give you an illustration of the satanic lie of what's going on in America today. Socialism. Socialism. And here's a principle, you can get this down. All socialism is slavery. All socialism is slavery. And it's sad to say, but the Democratic Party and the rhinos in the Republican Party, that a rhino is Republican in name only, in case you didn't know what a rhino was. They've been taken over by socialism. The Democratic Party has been taken over by socialism, and the rhinos in the Republican Party have been taken over by socialism. And socialism, all socialism is slavery. The basis for socialism in modern history goes back to Sir Thomas More in his book, Utopia. Sounds great, doesn't it? Where there was political and social perfection, but that is the devil's own lie. Utopia, therefore, became a synonym for any visionary system, political or social perfection, or perfect environment. The theory of utopian socialism is a total lie, whereby a false premise is presented. That false premise, that if capitalism voluntarily surrendered its ownership of the means of production to the state or to the workers, then unemployment and poverty would be abolished. This is a lie, because people do not understand that capital and investment creates jobs, not government. Socialism establishes slavery to the state. Slavery to the state rather than freedom of self-determination. This country was based on freedom of self-determination. And the government's job is to protect that freedom. But we have now become taken over by socialism. It's American Marxism. You ought to go back and study your history. The Bolshevik Revolution, 1917. You ought to go back and study some of those things. Point two. Satanic strategy has certain principles of activity and power. Satanic strategy has certain principles of activity and power. And here's the, but you got to understand the principle. God permits Satan to test winner believers and to punish loser believers. In fact, our passage, 2 Corinthians 5 and 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10, the incestuous believer, he was turned over by the Apostle Paul to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, to administer the sin unto death. So God permits Satan to test winner believers and to punish loser believers. Satan can use none of this power apart from the sovereign will of God. Now, we've seen this applied to punishing loser believers in our passage, the incestuous Corinthian. But God permits Satan to test winner believers. And these are the greatest believers on the earth. These are believers who have advanced to spiritual maturity and have gone through all the categories of suffering for blessing, and now they've come to the ultimate evidence testing. And Satan is permitted to, under this fantastic suffering for blessing. I hope all of you get to that point. Because that means the very highest and greatest of crowns and reward for all eternity. Turn over to Job. Job was the greatest believer on the face of the earth at the time that he lived. The greatest believer on the face of the earth. Job chapter 1, let's start at verse 6. One day the B'nai Ha Elohim, literally translated the sons of God, is a special phrase for angels. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" He knows where he's come from, but he just wanted him to spew forth his arrogance, which he gladly does. Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it," which means, "I'm the ruler of planet earth." Well said, you arrogant SOB. And then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He's the greatest believer on planet earth. He is blameless and upright. He's a grace righteous believer, a man who fears God. He has personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. And he hates evil, your satanic policies." And then, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But you stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your hand, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger. Well, and then Job, this is suffering, this is evidence testing, suffering for blessing. He is the greatest believer in the earth. He loses everything. Except, now, Satan's not quite done. So look over chapter 2, verse 1. On another day, the Beneha Elohim, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord again said to Satan, where have you come from? And of course he gave the same arrogant answer, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. I am the ruler of planet earth, basically. So the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless. He is a grace righteous believer, a man who fears the Lord, virtue love brought to completion in his heart, and he hates evil, and he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Satan then replied, skin for skin. A man will give all he has for his own life, but stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, his body. You attack his body, and he will surely curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hand, but you must spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Job had to take a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. And his wife, he has no physical health. His physical health is totally gone. He's sitting on ashes scraping pus out of the sores of his body. And his wife is looking. The only thing that hasn't been taken away is his wife. And there's a reason. His wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die! Thank you. Thank you, sweetie. He replied, you're talking like a foolish woman. That's a euphemistic translation. You're talking like a foolish woman, my dear. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And in all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Here's the greatest believer on planet Earth. Evidence testing is the highest category of suffering for blessing. The most painful, painful suffering. But the winner believer has the grace and power of God to handle it. Of course, the Apostle Paul falls into this category. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 12. Second Corinthians 12, verse 7. To keep me from becoming arrogant because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, in his body. This is his physical body. This is tremendous pain in his physical body. And what is this thorn in his flesh? A messenger of Satan to torment me. And he tormented Paul in his physical body again and again and again and again. And it was so, and this is the toughest man who ever lived on planet Earth. No one is tougher than the Apostle Paul. And this had to be the most painful thing ever. And I know it because three times he pleaded with the Lord in prayer to take it away. But the Lord said, no, no, no. And then the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. And there, Paul got it. The thorn in the flesh wasn't taken away. The messenger of Satan kept attacking his body physically again and again and again, but Paul got it. God's grace is sufficient for me. And he passed the evidence testing magnificently, powerfully. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, this thorn in the flesh, that it was so horrifically painful, in insults, people testing, in hardships, pressures, in persecutions, system testing, in difficulties, disaster testing. For when I am weak, that is when I am strong. So under point two, satanic strategy has certain principles of activity and power. Satan can use, he can use none of this power apart from the sovereign will of God. God permits Satan to test winner believers like Job and Paul and to punish loser believers like the incestuous Corinthians. God is always under control of the situation. While Satan is involved, he cannot use the power involved apart from God's permission, especially in the case of death. God never lets it go beyond the boundaries of the punishment or the testing that he has already ordained. All right, well, this is very important to understand. This ruler of the world and who and what he is and his strategies and how God allows this to administer suffering for blessing to winner believers and maximum divine discipline and the sin unto death to loser believers. And this is all under the will and sovereignty of God. You've got to understand that. Now, what would you learn from that then? I sure as hell not going to be a loser believer. I'm going to be a winner believer, come hell or high water. Yes, sir. Positive volition, humility. Got it. Positive volition and humility. Got it. Keep being filled with the Spirit. Got it. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Yes, sir. Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.